I'm Bill Sisson, Executive Director of WBCSD North America, and welcome to another edition of Transformative Leadership in Business. I'm joined today by Susan Uttayakumar, Chief Energy and Sustainability Officer at Prologis. Thank you for joining me today, Susan.
It's great to be here, Bill, and it's really good to see you.
Today, we want to touch on Prologis, who I'm sure folks who are familiar with you know, but many aren't, that you're a global leader in logistics real estate. And from my opinion, as you can imagine, the business of logistics is quite critical to these days to local and global economies, particularly with today's shop and click marketplace. And accordingly, Oxford Economics has determined that Prologis enables 2.8% of the world's GDP. So quite significant when you put numbers like that on it. And you're also using your scale to push the boundaries of global ESG leadership, in your words, where you're working with your customers within communities and with people around the world on improving the resilience and efficiency of the global supply chain. So really important business in the world that we're in today. So Susan, let's get into this a bit. First, love to hear a little bit more about you, the leadership journey you've been on. I know you've transitioned to Prologis through a very interesting path, so I'd love to hear a bit more on that. And how your leadership role at Prologis is really thinking differently about the transformative nature of the value chain. So over to you, Susan, to get us started.
I have been in the energy management space for over 20 years now. And really, Bill, I came upon it accidentally. So many years ago, I joined Schneider Electric, and the company is focused on digitization, electrification, and energy management. And when I thought about what that means for the environment and the impact of that decision on the environment, I was really intrigued. So I started to really get into understanding, why should we think about decarbonizing? Why should we think about sustainability? Why should we think about energy management? So that's how I began the journey. And also as a person, you know, I have this want to leave things in a better place than how I find it. And on that note, to leave a planet that's sustainable for future generation is of super important to me. So when we have tough days, you know, when you can say you're doing it for a reason, it really resonates with me and makes my job a lot easier. So having said that, how did I come upon Prologis? You just spoke about the scale of the company. It is incredible. And when I received the call from Prologis, I started to really understand them. And I, not only is it a company that has scale, it's also a company that has been founded on innovation and wanting to do things differently and taking the risk to do things differently. So I thought that, let's say the last leg of my career, I wanted to do something that is impactful. And with the 1.2 billion of real estate Prologis has, it just gives an incredible opportunity to generate renewable energy, which is so needed in getting to net zero, whether it's the country, whether it's the company. And when you do that, the fact that 2.5 trillion of goods flows through our logistics centers, it means you're also impacting the flow of goods globally. So that's what landed me at Prologis. For your second question of how are we working with the value chain? So let me step back and first of all, talk about our net zero goal. So our net zero goal is to be net zero by 2040 in scope 1, 2, and 3. And when you look at the Prologis picture, 99.9% of our emissions are coming from scope 3, so our value chain. When you dive a little bit deeper and say, well, what is driving that value chain emissions? Number one contributor is the consumption of energy by our customers in our premises. Number two is the embodied carbon. So immediately, if we bring solutions to green, brown energy, it's going to have an impact. And then we started to think about, as customers move into our premises, they don't always know for how long they're going to stay in our premises. And for them to install, operate, maintain an energy system, it's going to take a lot of effort and the payback may not be there. So we said, we're going to do our responsibility in helping them decarbonize. So we invest our own capital, Prologis' capital. We have an incredible team that understands all elements of the energy value chain from from generation to management to also partnering with utilities to make sure that they can anticipate the interconnection needs and all of that. And so we do this, and then we provide that green power to our customers at the cost of grid or better.
An incredible undertaking, but I think at the foundation of how you describe Prologis, embracing innovation and the risk to do things differently, kind of enables that transformative leadership environment that you probably operate in to think differently about those interactions you're going to have with your value chain. I think that brings me back to a bit of a question about, with this ambition, it's quite impressive. By 2040, net zero across your scope 1, 2, and 3 emissions, with 99%, as you claim, of your emissions tied to scope 3. That is quite an undertaking. So it probably unpacks a little bit this question about the role of collaboration and commitment that you have to have with such an undertaking within your value chain. How are you doing that?
Yeah, that collaboration starts with conversation with our value chain. So we've had conversation with our customers, starting with, how can we help you in your decarbonization journey? And where are you on the decarbonization journey? Because to assume that everyone is in the same spot, or to assume that everyone has access to all the resources that are needed, would not be right. So we start with saying, tell us what is top of mind for you in terms of decarbonization. And you know what, where we have the expertise, we are really looking forward to collaborating with you. And where we don't have the expertise, we will bring in those parties with collaboration to the table. I really believe that this problem that we have in front of us, which is also an opportunity, that the climate change and the actions to mitigate that, is something that not one party can solve. It's really a collaboration between multiple parties, including organizations, customers, governments, policymakers, et cetera. So we take our role of bringing the people and the party to the table quite seriously.
You know, I think that this is really critical, that, and we hear this from other companies that are challenged by this historical interaction they've had with their supply chain, which is always sort of motivated by cost and contract and legitimacy, right? But the nature of working with companies to help them understand their path to net zero through your path is really changing the way interactions are happening within the value chain. And you're sort of exemplifying that. And I hope people hear this podcast and come to you and ask you more about how you're doing this, because the enabling environment you're creating is really critical for how we're going to transform, not just Prologis to meet its goals, frankly, but also for the entire world of the business economy to get there. As this kind of progresses, you must be running into some challenges, some issues that you may not have expected. I'm wondering if you could share maybe a few examples of things that surprised you as you've been pressing ahead with this remarkable journey.
What a great question. You know, Bill, I think that nothing that you have to do that is worthy without obstacles or challenges. Otherwise, the way I look at it is you're not ambitious enough. So there has been positive surprises and challenges that we need to overcome. So let me start with the positive surprises and the lesson that's in that positive surprise. I was really amazed at how supportive the executive team and Hamid Moghadam, who's the founder of the company, is in terms of wanting to progress on sustainability and on net zero, because it means you are building differently going forward. It means you're retrofitting buildings differently going forward, and not all of the solutions are figured out, right? So when you want to do something ambitious, you need the support of the decision makers behind you. So that has been a very positive surprise for me. In terms of challenges, so the number one driver of our value chain emissions is energy, and there is a path forward to figuring it out. The number two driver of our value chain emissions is embodied carbon. Now, there is a challenge. Today, as we all know, there is no scalable, cost-effective, low carbon or zero carbon cement or steel. People are putting their minds and resources to try to determining what those solutions are. So what we are doing is we're saying, how can we help in that journey? So we're working with the manufacturers of these materials, along with knowledge holders and along with research arms like MIT Climate Consortium, to say, how can we accelerate it? And if we can find a solution with our scale, we can bring the economies of scale to you. So again, ecosystem working together to tackle a hard to tackle issue. Another example of this will be, as a logistics company, we obviously touch the building segment, which is hard to decarbonize, and also the transportation segment, because so many heavy duty trucks are coming in and out of our facilities moving goods. Again, transportation is a hard to decarbonize segment. So we are actually setting up, similar to the production of renewable energy, that facilitating the electrification of heavy duty trucks. That means you have to figure out, how do you get the power that you need? Because as we all know, the consumption of power is increasing and the grid isn't set up today to deal with that. So that again means you have to collaborate with the utilities. You have to give them the visibility of what they need to do, because it doesn't get done in a day. It gets sometimes done in decades, right? So those are the challenges that we're facing. Again, as an individual, I look at these challenges to say, how do we solve it? How do we solve it together? And trying to think through that for me personally is super exciting.
It really goes back to that willingness to take the risk to do things differently, right? You've set up in your goals to be 100% carbon neutral in construction by 2025. Knowing that the things you just said are the practicality of scalable solutions to achieve that, working with the innovators to see if there's a path to take it forward. I mean, to have that leadership and executive team support to allow you to take those risks, as well as the rewards that will come with it. Without risk, there's no major reward. You learn that in basic economics, right? It's really an incredible commitment that Prologis is making in this space. So thank you for being a true leader in taking this forward. Maybe as we think about other dimensions, ESG has been in the news quite a bit lately. We won't go down that road, but I think what road we do want to talk about is the environmental train, if you will, has left the station. I think folks get it. I think business leadership has certainly stepped up and ramped up their ambitions to address the issues that they will face in the environmental aspects of the world ahead. But what about the social aspects? How is Prologis seeing kind of the role they play in their ESG strategies around embracing those key issues that are captured or captive in the social context?
We really think through, what impact do we have on the communities that we're in? And we're in many, many communities. So we think about, how can we make that environment better? So we've done things like, we have something called Park Life, which brings green space to our facilities. The community that we're in can use, you know, they can have a barbecue if they wanted to, they can have physical activities. It's just to create a beautiful, enjoyable space for the families that are in our communities. We also think about access to clean energy, right? You want to make sure that we are doing the energy transition in a just way. So wherever we can participate to community solar, which allows that community to have access to clean energy at a discount, we participate. And then what we do is, when we participate to the community solar, we make sure to decarbonize the building itself, because we're using the asset to further a community. And we want to make sure that we also hold true to our ambition to be net zero. All in all, I think, Bill, it comes down to, you do good and good comes to you. And again, with the scale that we have a responsibility to serve the communities. We have a responsibility to serve the countries that we're in and the people that are part of our organization. That's how Prologis thinks.
What an amazing answer. Thank you so much. I mean, that to truly embrace, I can think of the many times I've driven, you know, down the highway or something. I see these warehouse locations along the way, and to think differently about how they're positioned within a community as opposed to just serving a purpose in the value chain really takes us to a whole different level when it comes to the commitments you're making in that social space of the ESG goals. Fantastic. You know, Susan, this is such a wonderful opportunity to hear more and get more, but of course we have to keep it short. So let me end with that forward look question. In your role, and you're truly leading and driving a transformative objective within a major company like Prologis, but as you think in that capacity, as you get 2, 3, maybe 4 years out from where you are today, what's really waking you up every morning to go after that? What are you seeing in those 5-year horizons that are really ambitious and things that are exciting you as you start your day?
You know, so Bill, I think about this actually on a regular basis. So in front of us is the energy transition. And by the energy transition, I mean the fact that with the electrification of things, digitization of things, we are, as a planet, are going to need more power. And we've got to generate that power from a sustainable standpoint. And the fact that we've got 1.2 billion of real estate and that can generate 10 gigawatt of power really excites me. So I really want to accelerate what we're doing. And then on the other hand, you know, you've got to limit the temperature rise of the planet itself to 1.5 degrees or less. And the fact that as we produce that 10 gigawatt of energy, it's going to help on the second equation is very meaningful. So I'm just excited to scale up everything that we're doing and to always remind ourselves to think out of the box and with innovation in mind, because there may be solutions out there that's just not known to us or scaled up. So how do we know what we don't know? And then how do we leverage it to solve the problem is what I think about.
You had me on 10 gigawatts of power, and I was immediately thinking, you're not just a logistics company, are you, in that future world? You're actually a power provider. You're actually a solution provider for the world of renewable energy that we need to get to. Amazing to think about. So thank you again. Susan, it's been such a pleasure. I just clapped my hands to talk with you ever so briefly. I hope some folks pick up this podcast and learn a few things about Prologis, your company, but also how you are a great value partner to work with in the space of driving a true leadership agenda when it comes to decarbonization, when it comes to social care and community building, and when it comes to obviously having the governance models in place to drive such an ambitious agenda. Susan, it's a pleasure speaking with you today.
Thank you so much for having me, Bill.